Well, today we have a very good gospel reading for this holy season of Lent, and it's from John chapter 8, the beginning of that chapter, the story of the woman caught in adultery, a very famous passage, one that is so beautifully portrayed in the movie The Passion of the Christ, which I encourage you to watch during Holy Week, especially around Good Friday. This is an amazing scene of this episode with the woman caught in adultery. When we take a look at today's gospel, we see that the Lord had just come down from the Mount of Olives. That's where the Lord would usually spend the night when he was in Jerusalem. At sunset, he and the disciples would leave the city of Jerusalem, go outside the gate, and go across the Kidron Valley and sleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the oil press. That's where the olive trees were. So the Lord would sleep there on the Mount of Olives. And then the next morning, it says, bright and early, he came back into the temple to preach and to teach. It says people gathered around him. It says he sat down and taught them. Rabbis would always teach sitting down in a sort of a chair of authority. Well, the scribes and the Pharisees used this as an opportunity to try to trap the Lord. And they brought in a woman caught in adultery. What's interesting is that we always ask, well, where was the other person? Where was the man? According to the Mosaic law, both the man and woman would be guilty, but they obviously did not bring the man because he was used to trap the woman. And so they were trying to ensnare this woman. They caught her in the very act of committing adultery, which means that they had set her up. So they had trapped her and let the man go for he was part of the plan, apparently, part of the plot. But they wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to have something to bring against him. And so they said to him in front of all the people, they made the woman stand in the middle of all of them to embarrass her, filled with shame and remorse and regret and fear at being stoned to death. She was placed in the middle of everyone. And the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees said this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say? And that was the Mosaic law in those days for adultery and other sins would be public stoning. That's according to the Mosaic law. But according to Roman law, only the Romans could bring about a death penalty. So they figured they had the Lord trapped. If the Lord said, no, do not stone the woman, they would try to discredit the Lord by saying he violates the law of Moses. He does not obey the Mosaic law. Or if he said, yes, go ahead and stone her, then they would arrest him for telling people to bring about the death penalty for someone that only the Romans would be allowed to bring about the death penalty for. Remember, eventually the chief priests and scribes couldn't even kill the Lord. They had to bring him to Pontius Pilate so that the Romans could do the public execution. So they figured they had the Lord in the perfect trap. But the Lord does something interesting. He bends down to the ground and begins to write in the earth, in the dust, in the dirt. But he begins to draw with his finger, the power of God, the finger of God, writing. And they persist and say, what should we do with her? The Lord says the most amazing response, which shows the horror, the evil of sin, and yet the compassion to the sinner. So the Lord does not make light of sin. He says sin is sin, but he also shows compassion and says God alone is the one to judge her and says, let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. So really only God could condemn her. Jesus, being God, could condemn her. He was the only innocent one there. And he continued to write in the ground. What did the Lord write? It's the only recorded time of the Lord ever writing in the entire New Testament. Most of the scholars speculate he began writing out the Ten Commandments, beginning with number 1 down to number 10. Or he could have been writing the names of people in the crowd, and next to that, the sins that they had committed. So people began to realize that they too were sinners, that they had violated some of the commandments, and that they dropped their stones one by one and left, beginning with the eldest, because the elder people were more aware of their years of sinfulness. And so they dropped their stones and they all went away. Everyone left except the Lord and the woman. And the Lord said, "Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, sir." And then he, of course, being God, is the only one that could condemn her. But he says, "Neither do I condemn you, but go and do not sin anymore." So he calls the sin a sin, but he forgives her and he shows mercy and compassion. Why could the Lord be so merciful and compassionate just to forgive her so easily? Because Jesus would die in her place. Because a few weeks later, a few months later, whenever the crucifixion was, Jesus would shed his blood for that woman. Jesus would die instead of her. That's why he could be so forgiving, so loving, so compassionate, because instead of her being stoned, Jesus went to the cross in her place, as he went to the cross in my place and your place. And that's what we think about on Good Friday. Yes, sin is horrible. Sin is offensive to God. Sin hurts the individual. It hurts marriages. It hurts families. It hurts the entire church. Sin offends God. And yet, Jesus was able to be compassionate and merciful to her because he was going to pay the price for her sin.